Hello and welcome to the DP Eurasia trading update call. Throughout the call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. Today, I'm pleased to present Aslan Saranga, CEO. Please go ahead with your meeting.
Thank you, Sandra. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to DP Eurasia's 2018 trading update call. I am Aslan Saranga, the CEO of the group. With me on the line, I have Güvenç Dönmez, our CEO of Russian operations, and Selim Kender, our Chief Strategy Officer. I'm going to go over the highlights of the year and to open the floor for Q&A. I'm extremely pleased to another year of strong top-line performance. Just like in 2017, we again grew the group system sales over 30%. Our like-for-like in Turkey was 9.3%, and in Russia, 16%. We opened 81 stores for the group, a record-breaking year for DP Eurasia. 58 of these stores were opened in Russia, again, also a record for our Russian business. Geographical expansion is continuing in Russia, where we are now in 12 cities outside of Greater Moscow. We have opened in Yekaterinburg, which is over 3,000 kilometers from Moscow. We have also opened our first regional dough production facility in Yekaterinburg to serve the area from a supply chain point of view. Our franchise store mix in Russia has now reached 44%, which is an important feat when you remember that we opened our very first Russian franchise stores in the fourth quarter of 2016. Digital is continuing to lead the way for us. In our delivery business, the online channels mix has increased by 9 percentage points, surpassing 60%. In Turkey, we launched a new GPS tracker nationwide earlier this month. We see higher conversion rates on the new Turkish website, and the Russian launch is imminent over the coming weeks. Due to macroeconomic volatility in Turkey, bank loan interest rates had surpassed 30% level back in September. We have said during our interim results presentation, an important target for us was to pay our Turkish lira-denominated bank loans due to these high interest rates. I am happy to say that we are also well on our way to eliminating our Turkish net debt and exposure to high local interest rates. Finally, the board remains confident in its growth strategy and expects the full-year adjusted EBITDA to be in line with expectations. I would like to thank you all for listening to me and would like to open the floor for questions now. Sandra, can we have the questions now?
Yes. Thank you. If you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. There will be a brief pause while any questions are being registered. Our next question comes to the line on Ivor Jones from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good morning. Could you talk about how much inflation has driven the top line in Turkey? I suppose I'm asking, what's the volume and price mix within the system sales growth?
Yes. I mean, this year, the inflation was about around 20% for Turkey, especially in the last three to four months, inflation was super high. On the other hand, our Domino's inflation was lower than that. It was, let's say between 12% to 13%. We have increased our average check price around 15% this year. There was a little bit, but not material, order decrease in our store orders.
Have I understood correctly? Average price up 15%, system like-for-like.
Yes.
System sales growth up 9%.
Yes.
The difference between 9% and 15% is the decline in is the decline in volume?
It's not that, Ivor, it's Salim. It's not actually that high. It's lower than that. It's not a material drop. Bear in mind that we were also lapping a very strong second half of 2017, right around when the macroeconomic volatility started in Turkey. In the second half of last year, we had done about 13-14% like-for-like. That's the situation.
So what response do you make now tactically in the first half of 2019 to that? Do you have to drop prices? Should we be worried about volume declines? Can you do nothing because it's just to do with the macro?
Well, we have four initiatives this year for 2019. We come up with a new menu segmentation. We increased our segments of the menu from 3 to 6. And we kept our hero prices on the same level. So we launched some new product, which we are going to give you more details when we will make the roadshow. So we have 3 new products in our menu. So the target with this is to keep the food costs on the same level, or even a little bit lowering the food costs, which we started to see the results, and on the other hand, to keep the orders higher. So this plan, so far, we see some good reactions. We started this plan by January. Our second initiative is the GPS tracker, which we launched a campaign. So the target here is to decrease our delivery times and have a labor efficiency. So it's very early to talk about that right now. The other one is the digital and loyalty. As you have seen, our digital sales is still growing quite strong. Now we come to the level of 60%. And our loyalty program is going healthily, and we had a 15% increase in the frequency. So our target for 2019 is to gain back the order counts, and which we have lost in the last period, and to keep our store margins on the same level.
I think you said a percentage growth for orders from loyalty. I didn't quite hear you.
That's actually the ordering frequency, Ivor.
Uh-huh.
Since the launch of the loyalty programs on the digital channels, we've seen 15% ordering frequency increase.
1.5?
Yes.
1.5,
yes. From people who are in the loyalty program, relative
yes.
to people who are not.
Yeah, yeah.
No, this is actually, we look at the loyalty program now has 1.3 million participants, but over the last year, 1.5 million people have actually downloaded our apps. But loyalty is open to both the website and the apps. This is the frequency on the online channels, and it's the overall frequency, whether one is a member of the loyalty program or not.
Got it. Thank you. Could I ask you about the sub-franchisees in Russia, just to understand if they are 100% of them self-financing or if they are partly financed by DP Eurasia?
Givanch, would you like to answer that?
Sure, of course. Most of our franchise stores are 100% financed by themselves. We have a small or moderate financing for the franchisees, but most of them are typically either our homegrown franchisees, meaning our ex-employees who have grown out of our system, or the franchisees with a proven success, which have built great operational excellence and capabilities. So we do moderately finance them, but generally most of our franchisees are financing the store openings through their own capital.
And from what you can see now, do you think that the percentage of stores that are sub-franchised in Russia will continue to increase?
Yes, of course. This is in line with our guidance. So I expect that we continue our franchise expansion as we have done this year.
But that's great. Thank you. And last question for me on paying off the Turkish lira bank loans. Does that imply, if you're putting cash in that direction, does that change the capital you have available for growth in 2019? And what are your thoughts about paying a dividend?
With respect to paying down the Turkish debt, we are financing that through the Turkish cash flow. We generally finance both segments separately. Russia has its own ruble facility, so paying down the Turkish debt does not have any material effect on Russia's growth plans, nor on Turkey's growth plans at this point. We still don't have a determined dividend policy. We're not free cash flow positive as a group yet, as you know. But as we get there, and you know, first instinct as a growth company would always be to invest the money into the business. But to the extent there is excess cash, we'll obviously distribute that to the shareholders in due course.
And is there still cash in euros outside Turkey and Russia? It's effectively locked up and not available to the group to invest?
It's not locked up. What we have is in Russia, we have okay, I understand why you're referring to. You're referring to the cash collateral Turkey had for the for Russia's euro debt.
Yes.
We don't have that anymore in Turkey because, as you know, we refinanced the euro-denominated loans with a ruble facility back in July in Russia. But we have about a 460 million ruble cash deposit against that. Cash collateral against that.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. That's my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And just as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. And our next question comes on the line of Wayne Brown from Liberum. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Morning, guys. Firstly, congrats on a very good update. My first question, I just wanted to get a feel for the market dynamics in Turkey. Clearly, there's been inflation. Your inflation that you're seeing, because you source locally, has been much less than the market. You may have seen some order falls, but you've obviously been very, very value orientated, which I see the long-term sense in. Can you just tell me what your competitors have done, what you think the market share dynamics have moved, and just get a feel for what's going on the ground in Turkey?
Thank you, Wayne, for the question. Now, in terms of inflation, we are combating with this more frequent price hikes while maintaining our hero prices. And last 2 months, this time the inflation was zero to minus in Turkey. In March, we'll have another election now. So the macroeconomic environment seems more silent, but we don't know what's going to happen after the election. But we are focusing on what we can do better. As I mentioned to Ivor, we have segmented our menu and our purchasing. We are trying to use our purchasing power, and so far, especially last 1 or 2 months, we are controlling our food costs better. And regarding the competitors, pizza competitors are following us. I mean, whatever we do, they come after us. Actually, part of them right now has increased higher prices than us. There is another competition going on in the QSR segment, Burger King, McDonald's. We see that they are also increasing prices. And that's all I can say now, right now.
Okay. Maybe it's too soon and you need more time to pass, but any feel for what the market share dynamics are doing, or is it fair to say that if the competitors are following you as the market leader, the price differential between some of your peers hasn't necessarily changed, and therefore one should assume the volume and the market share dynamics haven't changed? Is that too early to call that, or is that a fair assumption?
I mean, on the pizza side, nobody is opening as many stores as we are at this point in Turkey, and that has been the case for the last couple of years. From a pricing point of view, as you know, we are four times bigger than the next competitor. The sector follows us in terms of raising their prices.
We are the only pizza company who opened 23 stores this year.
Yeah.
So in that sense, we are still growing the market.
Okay. And then a similar question, I suppose, for Russia. Very strong performance there too, but there's a lot of immaturity within that business. Again, just to try and put the like-for-like performance into some sort of context of maturity versus immaturity, if you could just give us a flavor for that. And then also, clearly, Dodo is operating in the majority of the cities that you're entering into, so just give us a flavor for how you think the market share dynamics and the competitive dynamics may have changed over the last 6 months, or what you may expect in 2019, just to get a better feel for yet again what's going on the ground there.
Okay, so first of all, as opposed to in regards to like-for-like performance, we are quite happy with our like-for-like performance because these are the like-for-like performances of the same stores as we define them, which are mature stores, and we see 16% like-for-like, which is we are happy with. And most of this like-for-like growth is coming from still the traffic growth and also the check growth in line with the inflation. So I am happy about that because I see that, the customers keep growing, ordering more and more. That said, last year we have already reached the levels that are considered to be high volume levels in those same stores. I'm talking about the levels that we reached in Turkey in the mature stores. So this is on top of that base. So I am quite happy about this. And this is also on the higher end of our guidance. In regards to the competition and our expansion, in 2019, I am expecting, generally speaking, the pizza market growing hotter and hotter, because I see that we are growing and our competition is also growing, because as we always said, we see a 1,500 store potential in Russia for Domino's, and we are growing in line with our expectations. I see that both Papa John's and Dodo are also increasing their store counts, and they are also growing both in Moscow and greater Moscow and also the regions at the same time. I think the big news for us was mostly the regional opening. And because in the last, year, we have opened to 12 cities. And so far, these cities are doing quite well in line with our expectations. And I see that our franchisees want to keep opening those stores. So I'm quite so far happy with the performance, which is in line with our internal plans.
Okay, and sorry, just two last questions. Can you just give me a summation as to what inflation you saw in Russia? And then also with regards to the stores that have opened outside of Greater Moscow, just some sort of qualitative comparison as to is the growth in those stores similar to what you saw when you actually started to expand outside of Central Moscow into Greater Moscow? So those Greater Moscow stores, which are fallen into the mature bucket now, how are the cities that you've opened outside of Greater Moscow, the ramp-up of those stores in comparison to the Greater Moscow stores that you opened probably two and a half years ago?
Thank you. In regards to inflation, the inflation that we see in Russia is around 4 to 5% last year.
Okay.
So I would say more on the lower side. As you know, the government has been fighting inflation, and there has been a huge focus on that by the administration.
Yeah.
In regards to the second question, the answer is yes. Basically, what I'm seeing right now in the regions, in terms of the ramp-up and their opening performances, very similar to our greater Moscow openings that we had 2 years ago. So I am seeing similar ramp-ups. Actually, now I have like few stores that have been opened almost 12 months ago. And some of these stores already reached Moscow-level order counts. So it gives us a lot of confidence and encouragement about our business model, you know, having encouraging results in the regions.
Great. Okay, well, superb performance. Well done, Gavent. Thanks.
Thank you. And as another reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. And there will be a brief pause while any questions are being registered. Our next question comes to the line of Christopher Sandman from Handelsbanken Asset Management. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hi, good morning. I have a question on the guidance for 19. I mean, you mentioned that you have a strong pipeline of new stores. If you can maybe elaborate around that, what you're seeing both in Turkey and Russia, please. Thanks.
Our medium-term, thank you for your question. Our medium-term guidance is 30 stores per annum in Turkey and a range of 40 to 60 stores in Russia. We're not changing that guidance at this point. Of course, you know, this is a medium-term guidance, so between years there could be some increases, decreases between the two markets, as you've seen this year, for example, in, you know, Turkey we did 23, but we did towards the upper end of the range in Russia, which balanced things out. Our medium-term outlook hasn't changed at this point.
Okay, thank you. And are you adding more franchisees in Russia, or are you keeping the same numbers that you have?
In Russia, out of our 78 franchise stores, those are run by 31 franchisees. So we are adding, we're continuously adding new franchisees. But we are also carefully balancing the any, you know, the number of stores that are operated by any single franchise. As you know, we have a quite diversified franchisee base in Turkey, where the largest franchisee only, you know, owns less than 5% of the franchise stores. And as Russia grows and matures and increases its franchise store mix, we're targeting to reach the same levels of diversification.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And our next question is a follow-up from Ira Jones from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
I was just looking at my notes, and you mentioned the elections coming up in March. Are elections normally commercially significant? Does business reduce? Do they last a long time? Will they overlap with Ramadan, or is that later this year? So are there seasonal effects in 2019 we should think about if we're thinking about first half trading? Thank you.
The election is on March 31st. The election day is an occasion in itself, but it doesn't bring new seasonality or cyclicality to the business. Ramadan will start after the elections. There is no overlap.
Thank you. And as there are no further questions, I will now hand back to the speaker for any closing comments.
Okay. Thank you very much for listening us and for the questions. And we wish you a good 2019 to everybody.
This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.